Good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? Good. Bright and shiny faces. What would you want? Okay, thank you so much. So I got a text from Pastor JD, something about his sermon notes. His dog ate his sermon notes and he was off to Indiana. I don't know what that was about, but perhaps he can explain when he returns. I'm just kidding. My wife was not able to be here today. She's studying for a big test for school next week, and she heard who was preaching, so she conveniently stayed home. I'm just kidding. If you have your bulletin, you'll notice that we're in John chapter 6, right? And so the title of this message this morning, and before I begin, let me just say, Father, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the honor it is to stand here today before your people and to deliver a message from your word, Jesus. I am the bread of life. Lord, speak to my heart and speak to your people that which you would want to say to us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message is entitled, Jesus, I am the bread of life. Can you say that with me? I am the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. The book of John records seven powerful statements of Jesus. They're called the I am statements. Each of these statements offers the reader or the hearer a glimpse into the wonder and power and glory of God. Now I understand, was it last week Pastor JD talked about one of the I am statements? Okay. Now, he said he got a standing ovation. Can anyone confirm that? That's what he told me. He's a humble guy. You got to love him. So I'm just going to briefly look at the seven statements, and then we're going to focus on the one, which is the bread of life. In each of the following seven statements, Jesus tells us who he is, each one pointing to God. Every statement begins with, I am. And that's God's name. Leon, you got the mic there. I want to refer you to, before we jump into this, Exodus 3. I should have told you ahead of time. Exodus 3 and verse 13 and 14. It's the I am. That's God's name. I am who I am. And so we're going to go to Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Reading from the New King James. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.
I am. See, that's God's name in the Old Testament. Hence, in these I am statements, Jesus is alluding to the great I am, the God of all creation. In fact, he's saying, I am he. I am who I am. I am the one. Let's briefly review the seven statements. Okay, so the first one, we know what it is. I am the bread of life, and that's from John 6, 35, and 48. The source of every believer's spiritual life, and we're going to return to that one. But let's just briefly go over the list. Number two is, I am the light of the world. That's from John 8, 12. The source of spiritual insight and direction. The third one, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. And that is from John 10 and 7. The doorway into the kingdom of God. Number four is, I am the good shepherd. John 10, 14. The one who knows his sheep and lays down his life to save them. The fifth one, I am the resurrection and the life from John 11, 25. The one who not only gives people life after death, but is the source of eternal life. The sixth one, I am the way, the truth, and the life from John 14, 6. Are these sounding familiar to you as we read through them? The one who not only shows people the way to God and to salvation, but is himself the way. No one can reach the Father except through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. Can you say amen? And finally, the seventh one, I am the true vine or the grapevine from John 15 and verse 1, the source of spiritual nourishment for everyone connected to him in faith. Just as a grapevine feeds water and nutrients to the branches, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So the preceding were the seven I am statements of Jesus, which help us to conclude that indeed it is so, just as Jesus said in John 8:58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Can you say that with me? I am. So you can see that Jesus is drawing a connection between the God of the Old Testament when he said, I am that I am, or I am who I am. And so now let's go back to the first I am statement, which is the bread of life. From John 6:35, it's also in verse 48 of the same chapter. Are you all there? Could you go ahead and read that for me, Brother Leon? John 6:35 and also verse 48. Let's listen.
And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life. Now, that's an interesting, a peculiar way to refer to oneself, bread. What is bread? Now, in our culture, if we want bread, we go to the store, Walmart, Food Lion, or Farm Fresh, or what stores do you go to around here? Martin's, and you buy a loaf of bread. It's nicely packaged in plastic on the shelf, and that's where it's grown, right there on the shelf, right? It just comes ready-made, sliced and everything in the plastic. But what is bread? In the Old Testament, remember the children of Israel said, when they found this mysterious bread on the ground, what is it? They called it manna. It means, what is it? That's what it means, the word manna. And that's from Exodus 16. If you want to refer to it, Exodus 16, verses 15 and 31. So what is bread? And maybe we'll come back to that. So go ahead and turn to Exodus 16, 15 and 31. What is bread? What is bread made of that Jesus would say he is the bread of life? What's significant about it? Well, very simply, bread is food, right? Made of flour, water, and yeast, if you want it to rise, mixed together and baked. Or bread is a staple food prepared. I like that word, prepared. Didn't the Lord prepare for himself a body? Amen. A staple food prepared from a dough of flour and water, usually by baking. We understand that flour, of course, is a fine powder made from the grain that comes from the ground. It's uncooked cereal grains of wheat, which comes from seeds planted in the ground. You remember from Genesis 8 and 22, where the word of the Lord says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and winter, summer, cold and heat, summer and winter, it shall not cease. Seed time and harvest. So Jesus is like referring back to the creation with this idea of bread. Did you find Exodus 16, 15 and 31? Go ahead and read that.
Verse 15 says, so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Verse 31, and the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey.
Interesting that there was some honey in there, some sweetness in there. You know, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He didn't just give them some bland bread that would, you know, be untasteful to their taste buds. He adds a little honey, miraculously, mysteriously, to sweeten it so that they would actually enjoy it. You know, that's the love of the Heavenly Father. So Jesus, in making the statement, I am the bread of life, is saying, I am your food. I am your source of life and sustenance. I am your nourishment. This is what Jesus is really saying when he makes this statement. I am your strength. I am your provision and your supply. I am your daily staple of bread or food. I am your sustainer. That's what Jesus is saying when he's telling the people, I am the bread of life. I am everything. I mean, can we survive without food and water? And by the way, you cannot make bread without water, okay? Jesus is saying that I am everything that you need. Can y'all say amen to that? So, interestingly, the bread of life statement or declaration is found in the same chapter as the miracle feeding of the 5,000. You remember the story. It's found at the beginning of John chapter 6 in verses 1 through 15. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have the same account of the miracle feeding of the 5,000, but we're just going to look at very briefly the one from John chapter 6 because it precedes the I am the bread of life statement. So some of the quick highlights, we don't necessarily need to read the whole account unless you want to and time permitting, right? I understand there's a meeting at 12. That's okay. We can push it out then. I'm just kidding. There's no football on, so we're okay. So the quick highlights from the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is it parallels the story of the Lord feeding the entire Israelite community in the desert. And Exodus 16:4 has a verse that I'll read here. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you." Okay? So if you can imagine the children of Israel in the desert, in a remote wilderness place, and God making the promise, saying to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The psalmist captured the same truth in Psalm 78 in verse 24 and 25, and I'll read it. It says, He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Grain is where we make bread. Men ate the bread of angels, the scripture says. He sent them all the food they could eat. And again, that's from Psalm 78, verses 24 and 25. It sounds like sort of like what Jesus did in John chapter 6 when he fed the 5,000, including the women and the children. So likely they were double that, we could argue. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. He did not want to send them away hungry, knowing that they would faint along the way. And Jesus, it's interesting that he cooperated with his disciples, namely Andrew. Remember Andrew, he offered up a boy's lunch. He's like, here's a lad. You know, where are we going to go to buy enough food to feed all of these people? Andrew's like, here's a little boy, here's a lad that has five small barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? How can we possibly feed all these people with this? Evidently, that was the only food to be found. Well, we know the story. Jesus worked with something that was available and made it more than enough. You know, what about you and your life? What is happening or going on in your life that you could give to God, give to Jesus, and allow him to multiply it for you? Awesome story that Brother Leon shared about the healing of the 9-year-old girl. Awesome. Sounds like the heart of God at work. So the miracle demonstrates that if we are willing to give even a little, that is, cooperate with him, Jesus can bless it and make it go a long way and bless others at the same time. In the Bread of Life discourse, so this is John 6, 25 through 59, there are really two main themes or truths that we are confronted with, and that is that Jesus is the bread of life. He says it essentially four different times, verses 35, 41, 48, and 51. I'd like to actually go through and read those individually. if we could read 35, 41, 48, and 51. Let's do that.
35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And 48. I am the bread of life. And 51.
51.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.
Amen. So four different times we see this statement coming up about Jesus being the bread of life. Now, if Jesus says something one time, it's pretty important. If he says it two times, it's really important. If he says it three times, it's really, really important. If he says it four times, it's really, really, really important. So I think we need to take note that this is a very important statement that Jesus is making, that he is, in fact, the bread of life. He is the sustainer of the world. Okay? The other theme that I saw repeating itself throughout the reading was that we are called or instructed to believe in him. We're called to believe in him. And there's four different verses that I would like to read. And that would be starting at verse 29.
And said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent.
And 35b. The latter half of 35.
Okay. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
He who believes in me. And verse 40.
And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Everlasting life. And verse 47.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Everlasting life. You know, how about you? Have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of your soul? Now, I want you to note that the kind of belief that Jesus calls us to is more than just intellectual assent. You can understand that, right? Let me give you an example. I can say that I believe that Governor McAuliffe is the governor of Virginia. But that does not necessarily mean that I'm a follower of him. Do you see the difference? Okay? Or President Obama isn't, you know, President of the United States. Doesn't mean I'm a follower of him. But Jesus, this is something entirely different. He's calling us to a life of faith and belief and followership in him. You can see the difference. Jesus is calling us to a kind of belief that compels us and motivates us to a life of love and obedience to him and his word. We are to surrender our lives to him. Amen. So as we move along, and we're actually doing pretty good on time, everybody awake in here? Kind of nudge your neighbor, do a little stretch. All right. So we're getting closer now. More thoughts that I wanted to just point out on Jesus as the bread of life. Bread is seen in Scripture in various ways. It is a symbolic description of the one who sustains us. So we've got the mealtime bread. How many of you serve bread at your meals? You might. Some people like rice, corn. A lot of folks like bread. It's the staple. You know, you've got a staple somewhere on your plate. You got maybe a meat, a vegetable, and you got some kind of starch thing. You know, bread or corn or rice or something like that. Not rice pudding, Dave. Okay. But it's this mealtime bread. It's the thing. It's the food that people relied on most to sustain their lives. Jesus is saying, I am that source of spiritual nourishment for you. Okay, so the mealtime bread. How about the Passover bread? It's eaten at the annual festival called Passover as a reminder that God delivered the Jews from Egyptian slavery. And that story is told in Exodus chapter 12. You can refer to that on your free time. Jesus delivered people from slavery to sin. Okay, so the mealtime bread, the Passover bread. How about the manna? The manna bread that fell from heaven to feed the starving Jews during the Exodus. We can call it desert bread or angel food cake, if you will. Right? Jesus came from heaven to feed a spiritually hungry and emaciated world. Their ribs were showing. Their spiritual ribs were showing, if you will. Okay, so we have the mealtime bread, the Passover bread, the manna bread. How about the consecrated bread? Or the bread of the presence? That is the table of showbread. Table of the presence. You remember the holy place. That's where the bread was for the priest there. And the gold jar of manna in the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. It's like this theme of bread throughout Scripture, and Jesus is referring, I am all of that. I am all of that and more. We can, I think time allows to read 1 Samuel 21, 6. 1 Samuel 21, 6. Before you actually read it, you remember Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain fields, and they were plucking grains of wheat. Remember that? And they were rubbing it together to brush off the husk, if you will. And the Jews were getting excited. Why are your disciples doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? They were getting upset over this little thing of just having some bread. And Jesus refers them, you know, haven't you ever heard what David did when he was with his companions? And so that would be 1 Samuel 21, 6.
So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away.
Amen. And I'm gonna just refer to Exodus 16, talking about bread. What's for lunch, by the way? Bread. Who actually makes homemade bread here? Anybody? Is there one? Two? Two people make. It's a pretty neat thing. I mean, it's like it's fresh, it's hot, it's delicious, right? Jesus is saying, I am that. I am that thing for you. So in reference to this consecrated bread, or the bread of the presence, the table of showbread, the table of the presence, I just want to read Exodus 16, verse 32 through 34. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna. Manna is bread. What is it? It's bread. And keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna, bread, in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony, the ark of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years. And so there you have it, the consecrated bread. Jesus is referring to all these concepts or ideas of bread throughout Scripture, the mealtime bread, the thing that you're going to eat every single day. This is what I am to you. Do you get that? Do you see that? Jesus is your daily bread. We have those little booklets, our daily bread, right? Jesus is our daily bread. He's the Passover bread, the manna bread, the consecrated bread, or the bread of the presence. And then finally, how about the communion bread? You all serve communion here. We understand that, what that means. It's a reminder that Jesus sacrificed his body, paying the penalty, the death penalty, for humanity's sins, my sins and your sins. Amen. In conclusion, this is my first conclusion among many. I'm just kidding. So with this theme of bread in mind, I want you to recall that Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel or grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. Are there any farmers in the room? Who farms? Raise your hand. Farmer, you've actually planted stuff and you watch it grow. So you plant one seed in the ground. Over time, there's seed time and harvest, seed time. How many, when this thing comes up, how many seeds are going to be there after you've planted that one seed when your crop comes up? I mean, countless, countless seeds, countless seeds. Watch this. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel or grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. That's from John 12 and 24. Jesus was and is the firstborn from among the dead. That's from Colossians 1 and 18. Jesus was the firstborn from among the dead. And then from Romans 8, 29, Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. He was looking for a family. He was looking for brethren, brothers and sisters. He was looking for a family, not just to be God alone by himself and no one else. He's looking to be in relationship with us. Amen? Jesus was the firstborn from among the dead, the firstborn among many brothers. He planted his seed, his life as a seed, into the ground, if you will, by way of the cross, for our salvation, that we might come into covenant relationship with him. Is this making sense? Amen. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the bread of life. He is the sustainer of our lives, the provider of our lives, the sustenance of our life. Jesus is the bread of life. I am, he said, the bread of life. Don't merely labor for earthly food that spoils. You recall that from John 6? But labor or believe for food that endures to eternal life. That's from John 6, 27. John 6, 27. Could I ask you, Leon, to read John 6 and 28? John 6 and 28. We're starting to land the plane.
Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?
What must we do to work the works of God? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What do I got to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? So many choices out there. So many maybe distractions out there in life. What are you calling me to do, Lord? What would you have me to do the works of God? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's from verse 29. Remember now that the word belief is not just simply having an intellectual assent or understanding of who God is or who Jesus is, but really to believe in him. If you will, any parachuters in here? Anybody ever parachute out of an airplane? No? Imagine if you did. You'd want to know that that parachute actually works, right? So whoever packed the chute, we're trusting he did a good job, right? He or she. And that the chute will actually open, and that it's fully intact and it will actually carry you safely to the ground. This is the kind of belief that Jesus wants us to have in him, to actually entrust our very lives to him. Okay? He is our Savior, right? Our chute, our parachute. He's the Savior, the one that saves us from crashing to the ground, if you will. Remember from Matthew 6 and 31 through 33, Remember the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, even before you ask. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well, right? So Jesus is saying to us today, I am the bread of life. I am your bread of life. I am the food or the staple. That's the daily sustenance. I am the stuff, if you will, of heaven and earth that you long for. I am what you seek. You know, remember that he said the pagans are running after all these things. The world is running after all these things. Where am I going to get my next meal? Where am I going to, how am I going to pay for this? And how am I going to, you know, the world is constantly in this churning worry, cycle of worry, trying to get what they can get. You understand? Perhaps you were there at one time. Perhaps we were all there at one time. But you understand that the Lord knows what you need even before you ask him, but he says to go ahead and ask. He's a, I am what you seek. I am what you are seeking. I am what you need. I am all that you need. Remember we sang the song? This is the air I breathe. How does it go? I'm not going to sing it for you. This is the air. This is the food. This is the water that we need. I am all that you need. I am the bread of life. Jesus is calling us to believe in him, to take him at his word, and to believe and to follow. Amen. And it's really the essence of what I wanted to share with you this morning, that Jesus is your bread of life. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm gonna close in prayer, and then perhaps we could have a... We have a song. We have a song. So I'm going to pray, and if there are any prayer requests or anyone needs prayer at the front, we can certainly do that. Well, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, even as we prepare our hearts for a time of singing and worship. Could we stand together? And let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Father, Abba Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you love us. Lord, that you care for us. Lord, that you meet our needs. Lord, that you proved it. You proved it by providing for the children of Israel in the desert their daily food. Lord Jesus, you proved it by feeding the 5,000 when there was no food to be found except for one small little lunch that you turned into enough for all those thousands of people to have their fill. Thank you that you would think so much of us, Lord God, to meet our daily needs, and then, Lord, ultimately to go on to give your life, to sacrifice your life for us on the cross for our sins. Lord, you suffered and died. You were buried, and Lord, you rose from the dead, proving your victory and power over death. And it was a glorious resurrection. Lord, I pray for your people this morning, Lord God. Lord, that even as we have gone through your word, some this morning, and looked at these different Bible verses, we see that you are the bread of life and that you are calling us to believe in you. But this belief is one that would call us to surrendering our lives to you. So I would encourage anyone in the room this morning, as you are considering the claims of Christ, perhaps you've not believed before, this could be your day to simply say, Lord, I believe your word, and I choose to follow you today. Forgive me of my sins. Receive me into your kingdom. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Lord, we thank you so much for it. We worship you this morning, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.